But I'm going to teach you guys two things when it comes to recruiting. I know you guys are in the swing of it. You may need people. Everything I'm going to teach, you can do it yourself, or you can reach out to me if you're interested in Woot Recruit. But there are two things that people are really valuing right now as a business owner, and that is the value of time. Like, hey, I can't waste my time anymore on these bad interviews or looking at all these applications or for nobody to show up for some one-to-one interviews. Or what they're looking for is that perfect fit, that culture fit. How do I find that right person for my business? So I'm going to teach on both of them. How do I save time in the interview process while actually looking for a great fit for my company? And so the first one we're going to teach is the Stacked Interview Maximizer. And what is stacked interviews and how can I leverage this to save me more time? I read this great book years ago, and you might like it because you have software. It's a software book. And I read it before I owned a software, and it's called, oh my God, no, I just forgot the name of it now. It's, oh my God, I can't remember what the name of it is. I'll drop you the link. Anyways, the book is all about unicorn companies. How do you create a unicorn company? And if you know what a unicorn company is, it's $100 million in 10 years. It's considered a unicorn company. And there are 8 things that you need to be a unicorn company. And when I was reading it, I don't own software. Now I own 2, but it was talking about leveraging time. And so everything I'm going to teach you is about leveraging your time. As a business owner, you have to scale, you have to leverage time. Oh, it's called Exponential Organization. That's the name of the book. Exponential Organization. It was written years ago, but it's how Airbnb, Uber, they leverage things. They leverage people's homes. They leverage people's cars. You have to be able to leverage an asset or leverage time to scale. And I mean scale of hundreds of millions of dollars. If you cannot leverage time or an asset, you're linear in your growth. So everything I teach, everything about Woot Recruit is about leveraging time. And what we did was we're leveraging the applicant's time because they have all the time and us business owners don't have any more time because we need to grow the business. And so it's very non-traditional in the way we recruit. So we're going to talk about stacked interviews right now. And so what are stacked interviews? Well, I forgot there's a little bit about me. So in doing all the businesses I have, I also have 3 children. My daughter is 7, my middle son is 17, and my oldest son is 27. They're all 10 years apart. They're very organized, and they're all born in April. It's all by coincidence. So, and I am married. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a business owner. And so I don't want you to ever think that because you have young kids or children or you're married, to ever use those as an excuse of why you can't achieve a dream or a goal that you have set. It's just we have to figure out how to leverage time or an asset to get there. And before I really got into how do I leverage things, how do I get simplicity in my life and my business, I was the average business owner, letting employees, technicians ruin my vacation, ruin jobs. I run a very similar model to many lawn care people in my cleaning company. We run pay for performance technicians, and we have solo teams. So we're very similar in we do home service and we're a pay for performance model. The big difference with us is we run in teams of 1, but we have the same issues with turnover and recruiting. So if this feels like you, like you're on this hamster wheel of how do I gain some traction? Most people that need to hire are already in a deficit because you need to hire. And when we're recruiting, it takes 2 or 3 weeks to get traction. You still got to do interviews. You got to call them back. You got to train them. You got to onboard them. And so you're already in a deficit if you need to hire. And that's where that always be recruiting comes from. If we're always recruiting, it's the insurance policy that our company needs to protect itself when somebody quits, when somebody doesn't show up, when somebody has quality issues. And people always push back with me, well, I don't need to hire all these people. Always be recruiting doesn't mean you're hiring them. Always be recruiting means you're always interviewing. You're always open to the option. If an A player walks in the door, I'll hire them because all I need to do is up my marketing or go hit the pavement and do some guerrilla marketing to get some growth, to fill that schedule. So it doesn't mean you're necessarily always hiring. It's you're always interviewing. You always have an active pool of candidates that are currently seeking employment. Because how many times have we went to sleep on Friday night and when Monday morning hit, you've lost like half your staff or 2 or 3 people quit or ended up in jail or they're gone or they wrecked their car or they didn't show up. I mean, I could just keep going on and on and on and on. And it never happens in ones. I don't know about you guys, but for us, it never happens in ones. It always happens in groups of 2 to 3. You're like, you know what's happening when one starts, you know there's a couple more coming. So that always be recruiting, it's insurance. It's insurance to protect yourself. So what's the problem with traditional recruiting? Well, the problem with traditional recruiting is it's very one-to-one. It's very one-to-one where I'm going to teach you a way to do stacked interviews. It's going to help you leverage time. And one-to-one is very, very slow and very expensive. I have some numbers here. And these numbers come from a lawn care company. And the reason I pulled them was I was watching some old recordings from a couple weeks ago so I could get some real numbers for you guys on the struggle with traditional recruiting. So traditional recruiting, you know, I was talking to somebody and he's like, hey, I can post on Indeed for free. And I got 72 applicants, 72. He's like, I don't need you. I can get 72 applicants. And if I let it sit there for 3 days, so he let it sit there for 3 days. Well, we know, and this is statistically proven, there are studies done on it, that great hires are only on the market for 6 to 7 days. And you don't know where you found them in that 6 to 7 day journey. So they're only on the market for 6 to 7 days. A great hire, an A player, a rock star. So if you're running an Indeed ad for zero money, and you're letting it sit there for 3 days, and you got 72 applicants. Well, I asked him, I said, well, how long did it take you to vet 72 applicants? And he said it took 9 to 10 hours. They spent 9 to 10 hours vetting those 72 applicants, looking at them, calling them. And I said, and his office manager was on the call with us. And I said, well, how much did you pay this person an hour that takes 9 to 10 hours? Well, he wouldn't tell me. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you that. And I'm just going to guess that he's paying his office manager, and this is a low ball, anywhere from $15 to $20 an hour. That they took 9 to 10 hours to vet these applicants. And out of the 72, they only got eight interviews scheduled. Could anybody guess how many people actually showed up out of the eight to the actual interview? Two showed. That's it. And I said, out of the two that showed, how many worked out? Do you know how many worked out? Well, I ran out of space, but zero worked out because statistically, that you're going to get two that are a great fit, you don't have enough to even meet the statistic, right? If only two showed up, you're hiring the least worst out of the two. You don't have enough people to even hire for culture or values. You're hiring anyone with a pulse. And that's the problem with traditional recruiting. But he said, it didn't cost me any money. He was so set and so adamant, but it didn't cost me anything because I spent $0 on Indeed. But he wasn't willing to tell me how much he pays this person for 9 to 10 hours of vetting. And that's just the vetting. That didn't include the interviewing or the onboarding of the two that didn't work out. So that's the problem with traditional recruiting. And so we all have like fears of hiring the wrong person. They're not going to work out. How do I know this is a right fit? And we all want the same thing. We want great employees. We want a great culture and we want a profitable company. And what I see with the traditional way of recruiting is that you don't have options. And in the non-traditional way of recruiting with stacked interviews, which I'm going to teach you right now, there's a way that we're going to go through stacked interviews. And it's very simple. So many of my competitors are like, oh, well, we do it like WooRecruit too. We do group interviews. No. We're not doing group interviews. We're doing stacked interviews so that at the end of the day, we can all get what we want out of our business and out of our life. So my promise to you guys today is you're going to have a clear understanding of, should I be doing solo one-to-one interviews? Should I be doing group interviews? Or should I be doing stacked interviews to leverage my time so that I can get more out of my time? And then we're going to really go over the definition of each and the pros and cons, because they all have pros and cons. A lot of people get nervous with stacked interviews. They get nervous because they see the number of applicants stacking up in a time slot. So, and we're going to go over again, pros and cons of each. And you're like, well, where am I getting this information from? So in the last 12 months, we've had 225 million applicants look at WooRecruit jobs. And we've had 1,561,000 people apply to our jobs. And we've helped our industry. I'm primarily lawn care and house cleaning and commercial cleaning. That includes like power washing, window washing, lawn care, landscaping. We've helped businesses hire 7,549 employees. So I have a lot of data. We're all about data here at WooRecruit and really helping people figure out that we need to stop using our emotions and our feelings and our PTSD from last hires and stop letting it influence how we recruit and stop looking at the numbers when it comes to recruiting. So the one thing I want to say about interviewing is that the interview starts before that person even walks in the door. And what do I mean by that? It's how is your office set up? If you're doing them on Zoom, I have a Zoom training for interviews. I'm happy to share it with you guys. But the interview starts before that applicant even walks through your door. We train that interviewing should be like a play or a skit. And what do I mean by that? Well, you got to prep, you got to prepare, you got to make sure the office is ready. Are your hiring booklets ready? And I'm going to explain what hiring books ready are. Or are they walking in and your admin's on the phone and they don't even greet the applicant or know that the applicant's coming or like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Have a seat. I didn't know you were showing up today. The interview starts way before they walk in the door. And you have to do your end of the job to prepare your office, your staff on what you expect from these applicants. Because what you put out there, what you expect is what you will receive. If it's a shit show and you're just winging it, that's what you're going to get. And people see that through your job ad, through your office appearance, through your social media appearance as well. You need to make sure that you're preparing before that interview starts. And again, think of it like a skit. Have your stuff printed. Have it ready. Make sure you're dressed to impress. Make sure that the person doing one of the biggest things I've seen in lawn care and in cleaning is office. And I love my office managers if you're on here, but office managers sabotage and they don't even know they're sabotaging. And why is that? If we hand off recruiting to somebody, you better make sure that that person is so sold on your job, sold on the company, and that they have time to do the interviews. When we hand this off to office people, office admin, office managers, sometimes they're so busy in the field, so busy with current employees that they look at interviewing like a nuisance. Like, oh my God, I have to interview again. I'm busy. I don't have time for this. And that is not what we're trying to achieve. You need to make sure you're giving your office manager the proper training and time, and you're setting the proper expectations. I mean, we've had office managers like, shut down the recruiting. I don't have time. And then the owner's like, we need people. Why isn't nothing happening? Well, the office manager doesn't have time and the goals are not aligned. So you need to make sure you're aligning your goals, how many hires you expect, and also allowing them to have the proper training and time in their calendar to interview without rushing, without feeling like this is a burden, because they have other important things to do. I don't know about you guys, but if you're in home service, you're in the field of recruiting. You're not in the field of lawn care or mowing lawns or landscape. You're not. You're just like cleaning with us. We're not in the business of cleaning. We're in the business of recruiting, because the companies that can recruit the fastest and retain the most employees will be the ones that win. So you need to look at recruiting very, very seriously. It needs to be a part of your regular ongoing practice. Also, why should it be part of your practice? Recruiting is a learned skill like sales. They're selling the job. You're just not overnight a great interviewer. You're just not overnight able to find how to read great traits from people. It is learned. You should be teaching it to your office. They should be role-playing, should be practicing, setting proper expectations. We record ourselves during the interview, just voice recording, and we listen to the replay. And sometimes you're mortified by how horrible you are at interviewing. So it's just like sales. The same practices apply. And then we wonder why we suck at interviewing, or we keep hiring the wrong person, because we're practicing on real money. Don't practice on real money. It's like hiring a new salesperson and giving them real leads that you paid for to practice with. Like, we don't want to practice on real money. So you need to train, you need to prepare, you need to role play when it comes to interviewing. And so every part of this process, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for every part of the stacked interview process. And I'll get into that. But the reason there's every part of the process is a reason is because, you know, when we ask them to do certain things like show up on time, engage with a group of people, right, in a stacked interview, why they work with other people, read about our job while you're waiting for us. Why? Because they have to read work orders. And so every part of our interview process, there's a reason behind it. Ask them if they want a coffee or a water. Why? How do they engage? Did they push their chair in when they were done, when they got up to leave, or did they just leave it standing out? Because so many of you guys are fixated on the questions you ask in the interview. But if they're great at answering a question, that's actually a red flag. They're overselling themselves and they're overly confident. We like to look at, it's called quiet confidence, that make really great technicians because they have an eye for detail. But are they pushing their chair in? Are they saying thank you? Are they throwing their trash in the trash can? These are the things that are natural versus telling me what I want to hear during an interview process. And so the breakdown, and we have to figure out which one is the right one for you and your business and also your office staff. Because if I don't know if you're doing the interviews or your office staff is, but eventually I encourage every owner to hand off recruiting. Why? We suck at it. I'm just going to be completely upfront and frank. If you're an entrepreneur, you think you can fix every charity case out there. You think you can fix every broken person and you see the potential in everyone, or you're biased. You automatically have a bias to something or someone. They have a kid that's 7. Oh, my kid goes to school there too. I play golf as well. We don't. And if you're an entrepreneur, you don't follow anyone's process, not even your own. So I always encourage that when you can, you could or you should hand off recruiting, because someone is more likely to recruit without bias and also follow the process that needs to be followed in the business to recruit great people. So solo interviews. We all know what solo interviews are. Solo interviews get us this and cost us about $12,000 in admin fees a year. When I figured up how much she pays 9 to 10 hours, they do it weekly. We were guessing around $12,000 a year, depending on how much they pay this person. And, you know, that's a nice chunk of change for nobody to work out. And you have to do it all over again. And then we wonder why we hate recruiting. We wonder why we hate interviewing. And the solo interviews also with a industry standard. Actually, I have all the numbers here. Industry standard right now, out of 422,236 scheduled interviews, the industry standard show rate is 16.88%. That's across lawn care, landscape, residential, and commercial cleaning. We service about 25 different industries, but those are our main segment. 16.88%. So if you're doing one-to-one interviews, you can guarantee that 16% are going to show up. And that's if you have good culture, a nice ad, and good pay. You're average. Are you average or are you below average? Is what you have to ask yourself. So why would I do one-to-one interviews if I'm only getting a, say, 15% show rate? You're literally taking money and burning it into the you just might as well just burn it, because who are you sitting there? Are you sitting there waiting for someone to not show up, or are you paying an office manager sitting there for them to not show up? Now, this is only applicable to field technicians. Now, if you're hiring C-suite or management level one-to-one interviews, okay. I even do the stacked interviews for your general sales and admin. It's great to put a bunch of salespeople at a table and tell them who here at the table would they hire, and they can't pick themselves. Great question. So that's solos. Solos is your traditional way. And then we have our group interviews. Group interviews are, hey, we're doing group interviews. Come here at noon. I got my PowerPoint presentation about my company. Everyone sit here. And if you're interested, sign up for an interview. Why does that not work? This doesn't work that well either, because, well, one, you're selling people before you're even sold. So you still got to do the presentation. You got to sell. But then you also have to invite them back for a one-to-one interview. And that takes so much effort and work. You got to call them back. When are they doing it? Are they going to show up? And so it's like double the work. So groups can work. We have a system in WooRecruit where we don't necessarily do group. We call it an event. It's very popular in commercial cleaning right now. They do a hiring event. It's pretty much like a group interview, and they do it like once or twice, once a week. They do it like it's like an event. They put on this big event, and it works well for them. But they still have to reschedule everyone who is interested in a one-to-one interview. So there's so much admin work behind that. And so the stacked interviews. So the stacked interviews is the one that I recommend the most. And it's the one that's, we built it into WooRecruit, but with WooRecruit, you can interview any way you want. We have people that do one-to-one, they don't listen to us, and then they complain that they're wasting time. And then we were like, well, you got to do the stacked interviews. You can do group interviews, you can do events, but this is the one that we find that scales. And we've had some companies hit some huge numbers because recruiting is no longer an issue and they have options. So what is a stacked interview? Stacked interview is you're inviting all of your applicants to come at one set time a day. So in my company, we do 2 times a day. We have one at 10 a.m. and one at noon. And we allow 30 people to schedule in that 15 to 30 minute slot. And everyone's like, 30 people? What happens if 15 of them show up? I'm like, would that be horrible? No, that means I have options. But if I only have an industry standard of 15% show rate and I allow 30 to schedule, no big deal. And if I have a great day, because recruiting is like investing, it's long-term investing. It's governed kind of by the ups and downs of the economy and holidays. So there are great weeks and there are shitty weeks. Excuse my language. I don't know if I can cuss. And you wonder why, like, oh God, it sucks. Nobody showed up this week. Turn it off. It's long-term investing. So I should always be recruiting. There are great weeks and there are bad weeks. And if you're always investing, hiring sucks. Right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headaches, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today. You have an average. With stacked interviews, we allow as many as you are willing to fit in. Just say you have a great day and you have a 50% show rate. Well, I have 15 chairs in my office. Right. On average, we get 5 to 8 show up. So that's great. So we allow them to show up. And what the first thing we do is everyone signs in. They sign in. You can sign on a piece of paper. Back in the old days, I just had them sign in on a piece of paper. Why? Statistically, great candidates show up early. And if you're interviewing and you're not tracking what time that applicant is showing up, you're missing that. I have stats on if they're showing up 5 minutes early, 15 minutes early, they're a little crazy, right? They're a little too eager, a little too people pleaser. 5 minutes is great. After that, like 5 minutes late, they're going to be 5 minutes late to every job. So they are showing up and they're signing in when they come in. Just a timestamp. Are they also, we watch, did they put the real time on the sheet or did they lie? Every part of the interview is there for a reason. So many people are like, questions, questions, questions. I don't care what questions we ask. Questions are probably the most relevant part of the interview. When they signed up, did they actually put the time or did they round it up or did they round it down? So they sign in. And then once they come into our stacked interview, we give them a hiring booklet. So we're going to start here. This is a hiring. We're going to call this a hiring booklet. And what is a hiring booklet? Well, if you have 8 people showing up for an interview, we give them a hiring booklet. And all that is a book from Walmart or Staples, a clear folder. And what we did was we printed our core values, our vision, our mission, which I know all you guys have because I know that that's one of the things that you guys do in this group. Put your vision, your mission, your core values, your job description, write your job description. What's your job description of the job? And your pay for performance breakdown. Why? I don't know about you, but I've never met anyone in my life that can explain pay for performance very well if you're paying it. But man, on a graph explained, and I'm happy to share my pay for performance breakdown with you guys, just a spreadsheet that we took a snippet of. It's like, if you do 1 job, 2 jobs, 3 jobs, what is the percentage you would make? What's that look like? And you give them this book and all 8 people are sitting there reading about the job, right? They're reading about the job. It's like walk into a doctor's office, take a seat, grab a magazine. Why are they reading about the job? 1, can they read? Then yeah, that's a great sign. 2, are they reading it or are they on their phone? One time my office customer success person said, Libby, should we ban cell phones in the interview process? I'm like, no, because they're supposed to be on their best behavior. If they're on their phone, that's a great sign. So we typically have someone, you know, keeping an eye out, watching, are they reading it? How are they doing? Do they want anything? And then once they read the booklets, we do our qualifiers. Now you could do your qualifiers before or after. We do them after because we just let everyone come in and sit down. You do your qualifiers. Why do you redo your qualifiers? Because if you're hiring through WooRecruit or Indeed or ZipRecruiter or anything, people lie, right? They lie. So your qualifiers are your deal breakers. Do you have access to a car, right? Are you willing and able to take a background check? You redo your qualifiers. If they say, yes, I have a car, great. Or actually, oh, I borrow my mom's car. Oh, that's not what we mean by access to a car. Right? Everyone, it's subjective. So you redo your qualifiers before you move to the next phase. And then, so if they pass the qualifiers, then you take them into a one-to-one with you, you know, you take them in a separate room to do a one-to-one interview. And what they're going to do there is they are going to sell themselves. You're going to see, you know, are they a good fit? Can they sell themselves? So it's all about them. They're selling you. And if they don't pass the qualifiers, just say, oh, I'm sorry, you have to have a car. Oh, I'm so sorry, you have to be willing and able to pass a background check. To take, not pass, that's actually illegal, to take a background check. And if you're not, I'm sorry, like best of luck. Let me know, you know, let any of your friends know. I didn't waste any time. if they qualify, take them back to that one-to-one. They sell you. And lastly, my last phase of the interview is if you're sold, then you sell the job. Then you sell it. That's when you say, oh, great. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job. If you're not sold, if they did not sell you in this phase, excuse them and let them go. Oh, thank you so much. We'll let you know if we're interested. But if you're sold, then you move to the last phase, to phase three. So they're coming in, they're reading about the job. You're making sure they qualify, reaffirming those deal breakers. Take them back to a one-to-one where they sell themselves. And if you're sold, then you will sell them on the job. Typically, what I see happen is we take somebody back to a one-to-one and we vomit all over them about how they should work for us, which cheapens our job and the experience. And we need to make sure that we're not selling until we're sold. My office and many of our WooRecruit customers, they can interview 8 people in like 30 minutes. Now, imagine if I had those 8 scheduled interviews down here and I scheduled one-to-one interviews like he did. And I said, even if I just did 30 minutes of 8 interviews, how much wasted time is that for 2 people to show up? So this is how you kind of deal with it. We call it, it's 3 phases to the interview. It's the knockout. They sell you, you sell them. So I have a little worksheet if you guys want to scan it. It's just a worksheet on stacked interviews, how to prepare the office, what you should look at, what you should do. It's just a simple Google Doc to help you kind of mentally prepare for that interview process. Are you checking all the boxes? Is the office ready? Do you have your questions printed? Do you have your hiring booklets ready? And so from here, I want to jump into our employee avatar. So you're like, okay, Libby, I have 8 people, but now I don't know who to pick. I don't know which one is the right fit. I have a friend and she goes like, Libby, my picker is broken. I'm like, her name's Sky. I'm like, Sky, what did you say? She's like, my picker, everyone I pick. It's horrible. She goes, I think it's broken. I cannot pick the right person. And this is what we call the employee avatar. And if you guys have done any marketing training, you know that we do this in marketing. Like, what's your ideal customer profile? For us, you know, they shop at Whole Foods and they like to travel and the women play tennis and the men play golf. But we need to do this with our employees, our current employees, and our potential hires. So what's an employee avatar and why do we need it? This is great for social media. You can use it through social media in your regular posts to attract more hires, more potential hires. It's great because you know how to talk to your current employees. You all communicate the same way. And it's really understanding your ideal employee, which then can improve culture and retention. And it helps because there's always that misalignment between the owner and what we think we want and need versus the actual employees we have. What I want and need in my head has nothing to do with the actual employees I have because I'm an entrepreneur and what I want is people like me. But if there were people like me, then they would own their own business. My employees are actually pretty different from me. They're very introvert or very quiet. We call it that quiet confidence. And we need to make sure we're tailoring this employee avatar to help with engagement and retention. So it's not just for hiring. It's also for retention. And I have some examples of how you work through this exercise. It's pretty simple and it's very, very easy. This one's going to be quick. It's also going to guide you on your employer brand. When you see really strong, really large companies, they have a great employer brand. It's so funny because with our company, orange is my color. It's my personal brand and it's the color brand of Organize It, which is my cleaning and organizing company. We got our employees just like taking pictures of themselves in orange. They saw this was orange. And I know it's a simple color, but it's anchoring and it's stapling, right? And it's part of who we are now. And most people don't even remember the name of our company. I just had a plumber out here because my hot water heater broke. And my husband called the plumber we had last time. And he's like, what's the name of this company again? It's like, I remember the service. I remember them coming, but I don't remember their name. No. And the sad part is many of our customers won't remember our company name, but they'll, and our employees or ex-employees or potential employees, but they will remember your employer brand. They will remember how you treated them, right? How it felt, but also what it looked like. And you know, what's an employer brand? So I call it, it's like a revolution. It is an instance of revolving. Your employer brand will change. It will evolve and it will grow and it will mature. Every time I changed the WooRecruit logo a few years ago. It was like a party hat and it was blue and our characters on our website were like cartoons. And I hired this really high paid fractional marketing CMO. And she asked me, she's like, why did you change the brand? And I said, well, I felt like we needed to grow up. Like we needed to grow up and be more mature. And she goes, that's the best answer I've ever heard anyone tell me why they changed somebody, like their brand and their logo. But it's always evolving. Your brand, your culture, your employer brand will evolve and it will grow. And you have to figure out Is it growing because of the expectations you're setting, or are you allowing it to grow without any of your input, which means it could be being influenced by maybe some of your negative or not great employees? So it's always evolving and growing. So we have to make sure we're involved and we have input and we have alignment with this avatar, because if not, this is how you walk in a company. I've had this with so many owners. They get burnt out, they hire an office manager and they leave, they disengage. And then something happens and they have to come back in and help, either with that office manager or sales or somewhere. And they came into a business that they don't even recognize because it evolved without them having any expectations set. And so you want to make sure that your employer brand is strong. And you're also, this is the focus right now on everything that everyone in the world wants. And this is because of COVID. And, you know, COVID did a lot of things to us, but it changed our mindset and even the mindset of our employee. I say we have a pre-COVID technician field tech, we have a COVID field tech, and we have a post-COVID field technician. And I have a whole nother training on this, but the post-COVID was a career technician, a career field tech, somebody looking for stability, longevity, right? And then COVID came and that changed. There was people hunting for the next higher paycheck. They were just stacking. Like, can I quit here and get more money and more money and more money? And we were hiring like teachers to clean because we could pay that much because we could charge that much. And now there's a post-COVID field technician, and these are the things they want. And we see this in new jobs, or not new jobs, but we see this in jobs being promoted, like DoorDash or Instacart, or you go to Wendy's and you can see like get paid the same day. And that is, they want to work how they want, when they want, and where they want. And I know what you're going to say is you're like, well, I can't do that because we're a home service company, right? We do this and we promote this in our job ad and to our applicants. Now, I don't actually do it in a sense that you think, but here's my thing is that we have to stop talking about our jobs in a traditional way. Like, you have to be here, you have to do this. They're going to leave, right? There's got to be some flexibility in there somewhere, right? I pay you great, so I expect you to show up. The old days of like, I'm going to pay you $15 an hour and I expect you to be indebted to me for life, those are over. I won't even take recruit customers who are paying $15 an hour at minimum wage. Because you will get no one and you'll have a very hard time trying to find someone. The companies that we see with really great hiring and really great retention are paying 20% higher than the average lawn care company. But most of them are using a pay for performance model, and they can do that because of pay for performance versus an hourly model. So how I want, where I want, and when I want. How I want. Well, how I want. I don't care how you clean the house. Just you clean it using our process. I don't care if you want to start from the left side or the right side, but you're going to start from one side or the other. You're going to clean top to bottom, left to right, back to front. You can clean bottom to top. How I want is there is flexibility in it because they're working in their own crews. When I want, we have windows of arrival time, right? We added some flexibility in there because in our perfect avatar, they were parents and they needed to drop kids off at school or pick up kids. They didn't want to pay for before care or after care. So when I want, we created windows of arrival time. We're still getting the same amount of work done and we're still getting great reviews. I think we have 520 five-star reviews and we're still charging a premium. But we added that little bit of flexibility. When I say flexibility, people automatically think you're a pushover. Oh God, no. Flexibility means a window of arrival time and where I want. So where I want, we just say we work from an app. Now, that's a non-traditional way to talk about a traditional job. We work from an app. It's dispatched from the app because we use Service Autopilot. It's dispatched from the app. They communicate with us on the app. So we were able to hit some of these markers to really help us. And we saw that avatar that we created, right, really, really loved time. They valued time, quality time with their family. That's all of our employees wanted. And because time is the new currency. I mean, how many of us are chasing that pursuit of time freedom? My 26-year-old, he's 27. He's like, oh, Mom, I'm good. I just want my flexibility. Like, he works wherever he works. He was trying to buy a house and he makes like $4,000 a month. I'm like, how do you make $4,000 a month? You don't even have a job. He has a job, but it's just kind of like part-time and there's gigs and there's this and there's that. He's like, but Mom, I like my time freedom. And so how do we offer that time freedom? You always say, but I can't offer this. And I would beg to differ that you can talk about it in a different way, right? How can I talk about this in a sexier way? So it's not so traditional. It's not so black and white. And what are the little things I can do to help attract my perfect avatar? So you want to look at, you want to analyze internal, your current employees and survey them. What do they like about it here? Why do they stay here? Everywhere I go, I ask, whether I'm sitting at a bar, in an airport, at a hotel, hey, how long have you worked here? And what keeps you here? I always ask, what keeps you here? It's really interesting to learn, but we need to do this with our own employees. And then you need to do an external analysis of how is my job perceived? Sometimes we're so in the box or in the vacuum that we can't tell if our job is as good as we think it is, because it's our baby. Like, we nurtured it and grew it and birthed it. And so we typically are biased about it. So can I get a great, like, external examination of my job, my ad, my offer, my pay, to see, is it as good as we think it is? Or do I need to work on it? So these are some great stats on what are people looking for. Financial compensation right now is the top deal breaker, and work-life balance is number two. And what are people looking for in a job? So you better have great pay. And if you don't have great pay, you better up your rates so that you can pay great pay. Great pay also attracts another caliber of people, a different grade of people looking for a job. And then what are deal breakers based off age? Now, this is really interesting to look at. You know, are you typically hiring younger people? Younger people like financial compensation and work-life balance. If you notice, financial compensation here, they just flip-flop all the way down almost until you get someone over 60 who's looking for, like, meaningful impact. It's really interesting. So you need to say, okay, what is my perfect avatar's age? For us, typically they're parents and they're in their 30s to 40s. Why? Our job is really physical. And so that's our best segment of our age demographic. And then how do I do this? How do I define those core values? Well, and your core values are what's going to make up the avatar. So how do you do that? So what we did was you take three or four of your best top people. They could even be past employees or current employees. Take your top three or four and narrow it down to two. So I think here we picked our top two. And then from here, we whiteboarded. And this can be a brain dump on a piece of paper. I mean, you can go through this with your office team if you want, because I think sometimes we get some brain fog or writer's block. But you want to do a brain dump of those two people that I picked. What are their characteristics? What makes them them? What makes them so great that they're the perfect fit? They're my avatar. They're what I'm looking for in a hire. So in doing this, we also rewrote our core values, because we noticed that our core values were my values, which is great, but it was too much of me and not enough of the culture of the company. And so we helped this process re-examine, were our core values indeed the right core values? I'll be honest, we changed them because I had just stole my core values off the internet, because I didn't, when I first started, I thought it was a waste of time. And I was like, oh, I'll just use those core values. They sound great. I found them somewhere. And they weren't really actually me. I just took them off the internet. And so that's why when we sat down and we did this, we then re-examined our core values and determined, what are the characteristics of our perfect avatar, right? Humble, caring, because you're going to see some overlap. Like, caring could be the same as humble, or, you know, caring is the same thing as confident, or passionate is the same as hardworking. And so you're going to start to see some characteristics come to life when you work through your top two people. And what are the characteristics? And they can't say, you cannot say that they show up on time, that they have a pulse. What makes them them? And so you want to make sure these are great, because then what we've done going forward to really encourage the avatar to, we use it in all of our internal communication now, those characteristics, and we shout out those characteristics in our newsletters. I do a Friday video every Friday to all the companies, and I shout those characteristics out in the Friday video. We talk about it in our monthly meetings. And then it's also what we put in our job ads to attract those right avatars. And then you also want to make sure you're always getting feedback. Feedback loops are so important. And then making the necessary adjustments. Like I said, companies change and they evolve. Typically, your vision doesn't change, right? Or the mission doesn't really adjust. But sometimes your company grows up and you realize that sometimes things do need to change, like the avatar or our core values need adjustments. And our core values are what we use to hire, fire, and attract and promote great employees. So there's a great book called The Power of Moments, and they did a study on John Deere Green. John Deere, yeah, the tractor. And they were having a horrible no-show rate in interviews and for onboarding. And what happened was they did a study and they found that there are three things that affect show rate for onboarding and interviews. And these three factors are new environment, new people, new information, right? So an interview, it can be scary. We don't think it is, but it can be absolutely intimidating. It also hits all three of those: new people, they don't know who you are, new information, new environment. And so that can also, if there are ways to help that. So what we do is we send them an interview before the interview. saying, we can't wait to meet them at the interview. Here's what they can expect. They're going to walk in this door. My name is Libby. What did I do? I just helped eliminate some of those three factors that increase show rate, no show rate. I showed them who I was, so I'm not new anymore. I showed them our office, so it's not a new environment. They recognize it. All through a simple video that just gets sent out through every scheduled interview. Also, onboarding. We do the same thing. If you have a high no-show rate for onboarding, it could be one of those three environmental, those three factors. New people, new information, new environments. Especially going to people's homes. With lawn care, you're going to homes. It's a little bit more intimate. With cleaning, we're going inside the home, so it's very intimate. And so what we did was to help with show rate for onboarding is we created bios for each of our trainers and pictures and or videos. So when we hired someone, we sent them the bio and the picture of the trainer. Why? We helped eliminate some of that stress that new people, they now seen the trainer, they recognize them, they know a little bit about them, there's a connection. Those things really helped our show rate, whether it was for the interview or for onboarding. Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.